Good morning, and thank you for tuning in and listening to this week's Message of Hope on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with our children's moment with Pastor Justin sitting with the children of the church.
We invite the kids of the church to come on down forward and meet Pastor Justin at our front steps today.
Awesome. Well, I got a picture that I want to show you guys. Take a look at this picture there. Do you guys know what that is? A crown. That's right. It is a crown. And a crown is a symbol of authority and a symbol of power. Now, when you look at a crown like that, what do you guys think? Who wears those? A king? Yeah. Or maybe a queen, right? Yeah. Kings are queens. Yeah. Kings and queens wear those, right? But a king is a lot different than like the president of the United States, because a president, they're voted on by the people and elected. But a king is born, right? A king is born to be a king. And let me show you this next picture. Who's that character? Oh, maybe. Who's that character on the right? Simba. That's right. That is Simba. Simba was born to be a king, right? He was born to be the next king. But while he was little, he wasn't king yet. But like most of us young kids, we get impatient. He could not wait to be king because he was tired of people telling him where to go and where not to go, where to do this and not do that. He was tired of being bossed around. And so he even sang a song about, I just can't wait to be king. And he sang it to his friend there, the bird. You guys know what the bird's name is? Zazu. Very good, Jack. First service, they could not come up with that name. His name is Zazu. So he's singing this to Zazu. But not only did he not want to have people tell him what to do, Simba could not wait to be able to tell everybody else what to do when he became king. Now, in this part of the movie, Simba wasn't being a very good example of what a good king should be. When you're a good king, you're not worried about just collecting all the stuff and doing whatever you want and bossing people around. A good king is interested in the needs and wants of his people, taking care of his people, making sure all their needs are provided, and protecting all the people of their kingdom. Now, Jesus, when he was arrested, he was placed on trial, and he was asked a question. And that question's in the Bible, and it comes from John 18:37. It says this, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I come into the world to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So Jesus declares that he's a king. But his kingdom's not here on earth. His kingdom's up in heaven. And Jesus isn't interested in just doing whatever he wants. Jesus is only interested in doing the will of his Father. Doing the will of his Father. He came down to this earth to provide a way for us to spend eternity in heaven with him. Jesus came with an invitation to give to each and every one of us. And it's our responsibility to either accept or deny that invitation. But Jesus wants to be our king. So he hopes that all of us will accept his invitation and we get to spend forever and ever in heaven with him when we accept it. And he will be our forever Lord and King of our lives. Okay? Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be our Lord and King. Help us today and every day to honor him, obey him, and follow him, and follow his will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out. Amen.
This week, our senior pastor, Dave Yonker, preaches a special Christ the King Sunday sermon with scripture from Revelations chapter 1. Verses 4b through 8, titled The Best Is Yet to Come. Stay tuned after the message for music and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
Oh, gracious God, your love and your grace for us is so amazing. You supply us with every blessing in abundance. And so we lift our hearts in gratitude and thanksgiving to you. We come as thankful and joy-filled people because this week we have experienced and seen your love. We have been in your presence around tables with family and friends. We have experienced safe travels and a warm welcome. We have stopped in the midst of our busy lives to reflect on the goodness of our days and the blessings that you have given us. And so we ask, O God, that you might open us once again to experience your grace and peace and remember the gifts that we seldom notice, the bounty that we take for granted, and the rich possibilities that you provide. Help us to be thankful and appreciative people, not just on one Thursday in the fall, but for each and every day of the year. Here today in the midst of worship, we lift to you all those lives that are linked with our own. We remember those in our church family that we lift to you now. Those that are experiencing hard times, those who have lost loved ones, those who find themselves in hospital beds and care centers, those that we name before you now, in this silent space. Touch all of our lives with your grace and peace, O loving God, that we might know of your love each and every day, even in those days of unknowing, those days of struggle, and those days of illness. In all the days ahead, may we live lives aware of the bounty for which we are grateful for. Help us to not overlook those little things that we often do, but help us to be more mindful every day of your love and peace. For this beauty and bounty, for healing and hope, for the gospel of our salvation, help us to hear the call of Christ our King and follow in his service, whose kingdom has no end, as he reigns with you and the Holy Spirit now and forever. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, the first chapter, verses 4 through 8. We invite the Spirit of God to be upon us as we hear God's word read in the midst of worship this morning. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, from the seven spirits who were before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. If you were to open up my phone and look all the pictures that I have taken on them, you would see all the normal things that any other dad has on their phone. You would see loads and loads of pictures of our family and our kids and great times together. You would see pictures of us at baseball games, Iowa football and basketball games. Every single year, there was always the obligatory picture of us at the state fair standing in front of the wonderful butter cow. It is there year after year. There are pictures of our families at home with our friends. Tons of pictures, just like anybody else has. Except on my phone, there is a special section reserved of photographs I've taken of clouds. Not clouds taken from down here upon the earth, even though I have a few photos taken of a tornado from my front step when the weatherman said I should be in my basement, but I took a photo anyway. But that's a different day for like a different subject. But pictures of clouds and formations taken from airplanes, 35,000 feet up in the air. Now, I don't fly very often, just like once or twice a year, and it is always to go to some church meeting someplace, and so very often I always travel alone, and so I make sure that I get the window seat because I love looking out the window and watching the world fly by at 500 miles an hour. It is so much fun taking pictures of rivers and mountains and deserts and miles of cornfields and bean fields and cities. And nearly every time I fly, to be exact, actually every time I fly, whenever I land, I always text my wife a whole group of the latest photographs I've taken saying things like, "You gotta see this cloud, or look at the shadow of our plane." And she always obliges me and says things that are very nice, like, "Well, that's nice. Isn't that lovely?" Even though she's seen dozens, hundreds of photographs of clouds from the plane that I'm on. It's a good thing I only fly like once or twice a year, or else I'd have thousands of pictures of clouds. But if you look at my phone, you could see them all. Because when you're sitting in a random airport in some random city waiting for the next flight to take off, like the next connection to leave, after you've read the paper, when you're tired of the book that you're flipping through, when you've done all the people watching that you can stand, when like nothing new will show up on Facebook, when you've done all the scrolling and you need something else to pass the hours as you are waiting, pictures on your phone, at least for me, do the trick. Because when you are there waiting for the connection, there is this kind of odd feeling of already, but not yet. You have already left home. You have left your house. You have parked your car. You have made your first flight. You are, in fact, away from where you usually live. But you're not quite there yet. The destination is still on the horizon. There are still more clouds to take pictures of. There are still more airplane pretzels to enjoy as you fly by so fast. More flight safety instructions to listen to. It is this kind of hurry up and wait kind of feeling. You're longing to be home, dreaming about being someplace else on vacation, about where you will go. But there you sit, at O'Hare, at DFW, in Atlanta. You're on the way, but you're not there yet. You see, this is what it's like for us as a church family today. Maybe you notice like the front cover of the bulletin. The front cover of the bulletin said that today is Christ the King Sunday, or in some churches call it Reign of Christ Sunday. It's like a tiny little mini holiday that is the last Sunday in the church year. For today is the day when like the church calendar officially comes to an end, because next week when you come back to church, it'll be the first Sunday in Advent. It'll be the beginning of the church year. And so whenever you come next week, you'll find the Christmas tree, and you'll find lights, and we'll get to sing carols, and the whole season will be all about getting ready for Christ to be born in our lives once again. And so today, we know the story. We know what is coming. Some of us have already set up our Christmas tree at home. Lots of us went to the Christmas parade downtown last night. And so we celebrate Christ as our King on one hand, that he's alive and with us today. But on the other hand, we wait to celebrate his birth again in a few weeks. It's this kind of in-between feeling that we have today. But it's not just here. We have this feeling, scriptures that were read from Revelation. And so John is the writer of this odd and this weird book at the very end of our Bible. And maybe you heard what he said a moment ago. He said, "Grace and peace from him who is and was and is to come, with all the seven spirits up there on his throne, Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He comes from the clouds. Everyone will see him, even those who pierced his side. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and was and is to come, says God Almighty. This is who Jesus is. He is here, Revelation says, but he is to come again. He has come, but he is still arriving in our life. That's what Revelation says for us today. Now I want to pause for a second. Put the sermon on pause, because I want to tell you about Revelation for a minute. This is this weird, strange book that is so misunderstood in the Bible. We don't often talk about it in worship. I hardly ever preach from it because it is so odd. But there's good news. And so let me tell you about it. The book of Revelation is this type of book called apocalyptic literature. It's this kind of writing that doesn't hardly appear anywhere in the Bible. It's different than the four Gospels. It's different than the history or like the prophets or any other letter. It's like its own unique thing. And this letter is written by this guy by the name of John when he has this vision from God about how the whole world is going to end up at the end of time. And so in John's community, Christians were being persecuted. People were losing their faith left and right. And so John gives them this vision that is full of symbols and all kinds of imagery to give people hope. He talks about beasts and birds and kings and like seven-winged flying things, all kinds of weird stuff. But the thing is, the people that John was writing to 2,000 years ago knew exactly what all those symbols and analogies meant. Whenever they read his book, they were like, yes, there's a real king named Jesus who will come, that the difficult days we are in will not last forever. For them, it was hope in their life today. But the thing is, for us, in our life today, we have no idea what those symbols and those images that John is talking about really mean. I mean, some people will say that they can watch the news, they can read the paper, they can read Revelation, and they can tell you they know exactly when the world is going to end. And I don't mean to be rude, but that's their interpretation. But when it gets down to it, they have no idea that it's only their thoughts and their interpretation. Because the book of Revelation is not like the weather forecast. Like maybe you heard, it's going to snow today. Like maybe 2 inches, maybe 75, who knows? But it is going to snow today. That's what the weatherman says. And so Revelation is not like a fortune teller. It's a word of hope that what you are going through now will not be the last chapter of your life. That evil and anger and hate may reside right now, but God is good at the end of the day, and this is not all there is. That there is hope, and there is comfort, there is challenge even, to change our lives, to make them more like the one that God calls us to. That's what this weird old book, Revelation, is all about. With these strange flying things and these beasts, it's written to give us hope. And so that's what we hear in chapter 1 today, that Jesus comes down from the clouds. He was back then, he is here now, and he is to come. It's like we're sitting here waiting in this in-between time, like we're in the terminal someplace, waiting for the connection to come to take us to the next place. And so in this in-between time, the good book tells us not just to kind of sit around idly, waiting and watching, but we are to serve God and share the message of Jesus Christ in whatever situation we are in. And actually, Revelation gives us things to do, tasks to work on. Now, we all need to work on this. I need to work on this. And like, I don't want to be presumptuous, but maybe you should write this down. Like, I'm going to give you three things to remember to work on this week. Maybe you should write it down. I mean, I don't want to like be presumptuous and say what you should do, but you should remember this. So the first thing that Revelation says is do not give up. Don't give up. There are days when we feel like packing in, when we feel like quitting our job, when we feel like giving up, there are days when we are tired and we are worn out. Can I get an amen? There are days when we are tired and worn out in life. There are days when it feels like our lives of faith are simply just going through the motions. We read the scriptures at home, and we might as well be reading an instruction manual in a foreign language. We have no idea what it's saying. There are days when we try to pray, and it feels like no one is listening. When we try to live lives of faith, and it feels like we're missing the mark every single time because no one else gets what we're trying to live like. And so Revelation says, don't give up. In the scriptures, John says, don't give up because God will show up. If you feel like quitting in your life and in your faith, don't. The scripture said. The second thing is this. Endure the suffering. I mean, I don't know what it's like for you, but there are days when life is hard because not every day is the best day you've ever had in your life. Sometimes when you're trying to live your life of faith, you simply want to give up because it is so difficult. There are days in life where it feels like you are in mile 20 of a 26.2 marathon. I know what that's like. I ran a marathon like a month and a half ago. It's an awful place to be. The joy and the excitement and the crowds from the beginning have long since passed. The finish line is way on the horizon, but it is way too far to see, and you are simply trudging through life, plodding along one foot in front of the other, dying to reach the end. Sometimes life stinks. It's the worst. But the scriptures tell us that we are not alone, because the Bible is full of stories of our ancestors in the faith who fought the good fight, who finished the race, who even kept the faith, who had to endure everything that life threw in their way. It wasn't always easy. There were tons of days of suffering, but they kept on going. The last thing is this. Have patience. Have patience in life. This is a great quote by the theologian named Frederick Buechner. He said, the worst thing in life is never the last thing because of the hope of the resurrection. The worst thing that you're going through is never the last thing because of what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. How he came upon this earth, showed us the way, even gave himself off with death on the cross. But on the third day, the tomb was empty because he rose again. The worst thing in life is never the last thing because of the good news of the resurrection. And that we can hang our hat on, because that's the good news, that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, our hope and salvation. That is the hope that we cling to on difficult days, because we know we are on the way there, but we have yet to arrive. We are on the road to our destination, but we're not quite there. And so we place our faith in Christ, and we lean into God's love, and we keep on going together. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, we pray that your Spirit may be upon us and bless us with hope and peace today. We know, oh God, that it feels at times that we are in a difficult spot, that we don't know where to go and we do not know how to turn. But we know that your grace and love is always there, that through the life and the witness, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has taken away all pain, wiped away every tear from our eyes, and given us the hope of life with you. Help us to share that hope each and every day, O God, to live lives of thanksgiving, so that your reign in Christ may be known here upon this earth. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a new church home or searching for something beyond yourself, we hope you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We offer two styles of worship each Sunday. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m., featuring beloved hymns of the faith. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 a.m. and is led by our amazing band. In both services, you'll hear a sermon similar to the one you listened to today on the radio. Be welcomed at the Lord's table for communion and join with us in prayer and praise. During the summer, Children's Church is offered at our 10:45 service. There's no better way to begin our week in worship, so we hope you will join us here at First Christian Church.
Hi, this is Dave Yonker, Senior Pastor at First Christian Church in Burlington. We hope that you'll join us on December 24th for our Christmas Eve services at 5, 7, and 9 p.m. as we celebrate the birth of Christ and experience His gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love. You can find us at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of Burlington or online at www.burlingtondoc.org. In this busy season of hustle and bustle, may God's grace be born into us this Christmas.